me, this is thrilling. I am very excited to have this established in my mind, what I am. It really helps me to know what I am. At least if I know what I am, I know what I have to change to get into what I ought to be. Yeah, all right, what I ain't. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature, that's the body itself, also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Hallelujah. Don't you know that means one of these days I won't need a big print Bible? One of these days, when I look in the sink or the bathtub, there won't be that hair floating around. That's a bondage of corruption. Do you know what I'm talking about? Come on now. You know what the bondage of corruption is? You're falling apart. We're subject to the bondage of corruption, and it's the physical body that's falling apart. And it says the body itself, because the creature itself, body, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty. Now, this is a hard one. I'm going to tell you ahead of time, of the technons of God. And I really studied that one to figure out what in the world. It seems to me that ought to be a huios of God. Until I realized this, that it's the teenagers that kick up their heels, that have complete liberty, complete freedom, take the car and go until they become huios. When that responsibility hits them again, the calves in the stall idea will break forth. As calves in the stall is the technon idea, the freedom. What do they call it when they have the big meetings and they just have such a marvelous, fun time? Now, we would call the hoedown or dance in the other realm, but, you know, in this realm, in the religious realm, we call it a blessed Pentecostal meeting. When we have lots of songs and somebody yelling in the microphone and all that kind of stuff, and we're really having a lot of fun in our Pentecostal technon environment, kicking up our heels and completely released from all responsibility. We don't care if anything happens. Just as free and easy and loose. And we're having lots of fun blowing with the wind of the Spirit. Until we become huios. And then we become responsible again. More and more responsibility hits us as we become not only responsible for ourselves, but responsible for the other people that are around us. Does that make sense to you? Keep reading. We know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. What are we waiting for? The adoption, to wit, that is the what? Redemption of our body. The manifestation of the huios of God will be when the glory of the Father is in their physical bodies and they are redeemed in their body. I am redeemed by love divine. Hallelujah. Now, what's redeemed? Spirit, I am redeemed. What's being redeemed? What's going to be redeemed? That's why we're waiting. Do you see it? Those guys had the first fruits of the Spirit and they were still waiting. Not for the redemption of the Spirit, not for the redemption of the soul, but waiting for the redemption of their body. And this is at the manifestation of the huios of God. I think that's enough tonight to get the idea across. I'm going to quit. And now you know a little bit more about what I'm praying. When I pray that every spirit and every soul and every body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. I really believe that I'm talking to some people here tonight who are going to be alive, spirit, soul, and body. You will have gotten rid of your present head, mind, intellect, will, emotion, replaced it with the mind of Christ. Your present attitudes, which are self-centered, now whether you caught that or not, selfish, and I called everybody here selfish. I'm not trying to be smart, but that's what there's where the motivating factors are. Selfishness. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to help you find where you are. Until every person here can make a decision based on the needs of somebody else, we're not really ready to be manifested sons of God. We're just selfish teenagers, doing our own thing, having our own fun, kicking up our own heels, not finding fault with anybody. But I have a tremendous desire that you move on, change from what we are to what we ought to be. Stand with me while we pray, please. Our Father, in Jesus' name, no matter what grade of school we're in at the moment, we pray that each one of us will be satisfied with the fact that you have us here where we are, but will not be satisfied to stay here forever. We pray, Lord, that each one of us, having eyes that see and ears that hear, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, because of the changes that He has brought us, will move on toward perfection. Move on toward completion. Move on toward graduation. We pray, Lord, that there will be people here who will have that spirit churning within them to say, I want to be alive and remain to the coming of the Christ. We pray that the people here who will overcome the last enemy, which is death. We pray, Lord, that there will be people here who will actually rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We pray that each one of us will stand as candidates for these great changes. We pray that each one of us will truly pray the prayer, Lord, change me from what I am to what I ought to be. We pray, Lord, that as we look around ourselves and see those in other areas and other circumstances, we pray that we will have patience and love and understanding toward them, realizing that you've got lots of people in various situations. We pray, Lord, that none of us will get the idea we're supposed to stay in that situation. But we'll be satisfied when we see others there, knowing that you've got lots of first graders and second and third graders, knowing, Lord, that you're changing us, and being satisfied with other people, whether they're ahead of us or behind us, not judging ourselves by ourselves, not being so unwise as to do this. But, Lord, we pray that we will judge ourselves by the pattern that you've set out for us to take. We pray that every person here will determine in his heart to become a huios of God, a son of God, and a joint heir with Christ, one who can rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. And now, Lord, we pray that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Question and try to answer, period. Who's up?
David.
Okay, Mark.
When you're in the Spirit, you will not do wrong, right?
Well, right. You can't. You will never hurt anybody. See, that's one test as to whether you're in the Spirit, that you don't hurt people. Love wouldn't hurt them. Now, if you know somebody... Also, let's say it another way, Mark. A responsible person exercises their responsibilities. If someone says the Holy Spirit is leading me to not be responsible, I have a great question about that. I have a real question about that. The Holy Spirit wants you to exercise your responsibilities, to be responsible. Our goal is responsibility. Our goal is to be mature. The Holy Spirit could lead you to order BLT. But that's because he wants you to be more responsible and mature. If somebody says, well, I don't have to do that anymore, got a problem with that. Is that okay, Mark?
Yeah.
Are we together? Yeah. See, when the Holy Spirit told Peter to order BLT, didn't hurt anybody. Didn't mess up anything. The only thing it hurt were a few laws. They needed to be hurt. The Holy Spirit doesn't lead you to mess up people and that kind of stuff, see? He didn't mess up those guys by ordering the BLT. Now, they got messed up, but that was because they were under law. But he didn't do it. Let me do it another way. The people that are causing most of the trouble are not the ones that are being led of the Spirit. The trouble is caused by the kids screaming when you're led beyond the bush. Yes, that's why it says in Romans 14, when you're with people who can't eat meat, don't eat meat. When you're people who cannot drink wine, don't drink wine. If people have to go on Sunday, go on Sunday. Don't be a stumbling stone. Okay, Bill.
When you start getting the areas of responsibility, okay, a certain question pertaining to ministry, okay? Now, responsible for what exactly before God? Because how? You know, it's kind of, do we accept responsibility? Do we ask and it's given us? Or do we just reach out and take it? In this regard, see, there are ministries that we look upon and we kind of wish to emulate Captain Coleman's ministry. Perhaps an evangelical ministry such as Billy Graham. Because we look and you see the problem. And you see so many people need healing. I see this. Hospitals, and you empathize with the pain, and you want to do something. Okay. Now, is it a responsible person like Catherine Coleman or Billy Graham who goes out and sees it and grasps that responsibility and accepts it, and therefore is used of God? Or is it someone who just kind of goes along with the crowd, and the Lord picks out and gives them responsibility? Or do they reach out there and they grab it by prayer and fasting and seeking after God? I want to do these things, but I'm not quite sure. Now, do I wait on God, like I'm told? Do I run after it and grab it, like I'm told, or how?
Paul and Barnabas did not become missionaries until they were called of the Holy Spirit and sent out by their group. The Bible says, be not many masters. Be not many teachers. Don't seek the gift of teaching, but if it comes to you, accept it. All of the successful ministries I know of were thrust by God. All of the warriors who win are draftees, conscripts, that I know of at the moment. That's as good as I can tell you. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. If you feel like, for instance, your father may have been a minister and you want to be a minister, go to school. I give you my blessing. But that does not mean that God's going to give you ministry. It only means that man will give you ministry, see. But you can be prepared for God's ministry by things like this. For instance, Peter, I'm convinced, was prepared, knew the Bible. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, he said. In the last days, saith the Lord, see, I believe that he had prepared. So from this standpoint, if you feel that you want a ministry and you want preparation, go ahead, you know, go ahead and make your preparation. But preparation of itself is not the ministry. Graduating from a school. Now, graduating from a school might get you a church. See, in man's sight, you could have a ministry as far as that goes. But God is the one that conscripts his people to his special thing. If you were to read some of Captain Kuhlman's books and Oral Roberts' books, they would both tell you the same thing. If you would read Kenneth Hagin books, they say the same thing. None of these people sought to enter this kind of thing. They were just had the hook in their jaw and drawn in. I'm talking about the successful ones. There are emulators, and most of us have seen preachers who preach just like Billy Graham with the same pronunciation. I'm thinking right now of one lady that I know who emulates Catherine Kuhlman. Pronunciation, slow talking, etc. Well, it tells us in the Bible, let's see if I can remember that scripture. I can't remember it, so I'll find it. Do your own thing, but I can't remember what it is here. 2 Corinthians 10:16, boast not in another man's line. Do your own thing. Don't emulate. Don't copy other ministries. That's my personal opinion, Bill. Not everybody would tell you that. Some people would, you know, there are schools that turn out everyone just exactly the same, like Ford used to turn out all black Fords. Similar line, right down the line. Everyone looks the same. There are places who believe that, you know, that they ought, their preachers ought to come out that way. Everyone, same thing, same pronunciation, same emphasis on the same words. I don't find any fault with those guys, Bill, but you asked me the question, and that's my answer. Anyone else? You had some, Mary Lou. All right.
When did Jesus become a hero?
There's a scripture that says, "Thou art my beloved Son, this day I have begotten thee." And I wrote myself a note to find out what day it was, and I haven't found it. But technically, Jesus, when he became a heroes of God or heroes of man? Yes. In Matthew 1:1, it says the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the heroes of David. The first reference, out of Egypt have I called my heroes, is a prophecy, which would indicate he was about 6 years old when he was called out of Egypt and back. But the first real thing is in Matthew 3:17, low voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Helios, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately he was led up, and the tempter came and said, "If thou be the Helios of God, command these stones be made bread." Now, I didn't get to that section of the teaching. I could tell that I was losing some already because of the depth of it, and I decided that I'd leave it alone. But somewhere here, I have a chart. Here it is. Sons of God are tempted. It's just an automatic. In order, you know, if you're tempted, you're a son of God. But if you're a son of God, you're going to be tempted. Same idea. Sons of God are peacemakers. Sons of God love their enemies. I can give you scripture for all this and that kind of stuff. They bless them that curse them. A son of God does good to the hateful. A son of God prays for the spiteful. People are spiting you. A son of God prays for his persecutors. A son of God will fast and feast. That doesn't mean all fasters and feasters are sons of God, but if you're a son of God, you'll have this in operation. Now, this is going to be a hard one, but a son of God will lend money hoping for no return. And there are some some are borrowing money right now. It's because you're technons, Bill. See, by the time you're mature, you'll have plenty of money to give. Right now, as a technon, you're looking for it. A son of God will walk in the light. A son of God has faith in Jesus Christ. These are. I can give you scripture all that if you want. So there is technically an answer to your question. I don't know if that is the answer, but
Paul is trying to find out, you know, when we become heroes, the glory of the Father is also manifest in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought, you know, maybe this would correspond to like Jesus after the resurrection.
Right. It's a personal opinion. This is just a personal opinion. Every time anyone sees a light around someone, Are there any people here who have seen auras or lights? I'd like to know. We have a few people who see auras or lights. And whenever you see an aura or light around a person, that person is coming out of the law and dying to self. See, dying to self and coming out of the law are somewhat synonymous too. Because self is scared to death, tells you it's a fear to come out of the law. Because the law is your security. And so you do things that scare you. Now, we're not suggesting that you do things that scare you. We're suggesting that you be led of the Spirit. Now, there's another thing here. Perfect love casts out all fear. So if you are starting and say, I'd like to do this, but I fear. I want to go beyond this bush, but I fear my daddy, I fear my uncle, I fear my brothers, I fear my sisters who are track riders will find me, see me. If the thoughts of fear come in, I'm suggesting for your analysis that you're being led by your soul, not the Spirit. If fear and upsetness, I've learned a few things over the years, and when fear and upsetness are involved and you're really churning, you probably went beyond the bush because of something you could see or smell, taste, and feel instead of what the Spirit was telling you to do. When the Spirit leads you to order the BLT, all the circumstances will be right. There won't be a Jewish waitress there. I don't know whether you caught that or not, the parallel. But the whole circumstance, you know, everything will be neat. It'll be all right. There's no need to fear. And up to now, I kind of use that as a test at times, lately. I didn't always do it until I goofed up a few times and I found out that when I'm led of the Spirit, I'm a real lover, and perfect love has no fear. Whose were we on then? Did I say what you were expecting or wanting or what? Did I even talk about the question? Let's go back to the question a minute. It's been so long since I... Yes, a light in the body and a reversing the corruption process. Right. Right. See, no more trips to the drugstore for a bottle of this and tube of that to glue this up and color that, and you don't have to buy this to pull this in or push that out. It's all natural, see, because the bondage of corruption has been reversed. Don't think so. I haven't met a manifested Son of God yet. And I'm not trying to be smart. I've met lots of people who want to become manifested as sons of God. Every manifestation of the Son of God indicates a reversal of the aging process, a perfection of the physical body, and a light or a glory. Every scripture. The what? It might be that John entered this. I cannot argue the point. I could take an argument on each side. John may have become manifest as a son of God, joint heir with Christ, in which case John is still alive. If John is still alive, he's walking around here. He may have slipped in. What do you think John would look like if he overcame death? Well, not same as we are, Dottie. Well, because he'd be a perfect physique. Like I said, we have to shape up or ship out. And And I'm not trying to be smart, Dottie.
Oh, yeah, I know you've got your problems.
I'm just trying to say that we are technons becoming huios. And if John entered into the huios, I really believe that the things that cause the hair to fall out wouldn't be operating, and the things that cause the hair to grow in the right color would. And he comes home from the dentist and he says, "Look, Ma, no cavities." And he doesn't need any glasses, and, you know, all the other things that go along with the bondage of corruption. Romans 8.
He wouldn't be able to stay in one community very long either.
No, he'd have to be he'd be a traveling man. Wouldn't eat fish. Wouldn't have to, but he would if he wanted it. He could go along digesting, breathing the carbon dioxide in the air. Yes?
Well, then this is going to have to start sometime.
Yes?
And when it starts, it's going to be happening all over the place.
Yes? But I want to call your attention to one part, the bottom right-hand column of your chart. The Feast of Tabernacles is very personal and private. The Feast of Tabernacles is a family love affair that's very personal and private. In the Feast of Tabernacles, every man builds his own booth, retires from society, gets away from people, gets with his mate in his own booth, way far away. The tabernacle experience is personal and private. It's for the physical. The tabernacle experience is a physical thing, but society, it's not a part of corporate society. It's a very, very removed situation. So, though it will be happening, it won't be talked about. You'll start to see it. Some personal and private things happen, and you just don't talk about them until you start to see it. And after a while, you can't hide it. You've been in the booth with somebody, and it's showing. You just don't talk about it. I don't know whether you're following this parallel or not. It's a perfect parallel. You are.
For a free list of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebal Bible School, 10